the rest of the story. It was a friend of the family, clergyman, in fact, who gave Helen the name of a publisher. Her stories must be published for all to enjoy, the vicar insisted, and the middle-aged spinster, flattered, agreed. The publisher's name was Frederick Warney and Company. I don't know why the vicar selected it. It could not have been because he had any particular influence there, for indeed, after anxious weeks had passed, Helen's manuscript was returned, along with a polite letter from the editor saying that Helen's style was not quite Warney and Company taste. Helen's father was neither surprised nor disappointed by this rejection of his daughter's work. The old man's 18th century attitudes toward women and their place had endured even now as the 20th century was dawning, but the good vicar, Rawnsley, continued to encourage Helen, perhaps even jeopardizing his friendship with her father. And because somebody believed in her, Helen summoned the courage to believe in herself. She sent the same manuscript to another publisher. And she waited, only to receive another rejection, this one less polite than the first. Undaunted, Helen addressed another parcel, same contents, to a third publisher. And she waited, eventually, to be rejected a third time. Helen told the vicar, who imparted in turn a predictable sermon, the subject of which was faith. Helen said yes, she must not lose faith, and she did not. I mean, after a fourth publisher turned her down, after a fifth, after a sixth, it seems to have been the seventh rejection by the seventh publisher in succession that finally made up Helen's mind for her. She was simply not cut out to be an author. Her father had been right all along. The good Vicar Rawnsley would not allow Helen to become disheartened if professional publishers were too dense to comprehend the quality of Helen's work. He insisted that she, Helen herself, must be her own publisher. And so, with her own personal savings, Helen paid a printer to print 500 copies of her manuscript, including engravings of little pictures that Helen had drawn herself to accompany the story. In February of 1900, the books were ready for sale. Helen sold them herself for a modest price, sold them personally to family and friends mostly. She also sent a copy to Frederick Warney and Company, and you know what? Warney and Company, the first publisher to whom she had sent her handwritten manuscript, one of the seven firms that had previously rejected it, now seeing the book in binding and in print, accepted it. And over the more than 100 years since then, generations of children have been so grateful that it was finally accepted and was finally published. And today, the story and the hero Helen fought to sustain have proliferated time and time again in other children's stories, even in lines of children's clothing. But when the subject comes up next, in conversation with friends, that subject is likely to come up, and you will recall not only the persistence of the author, Helen Beatrix Potter, but you'll want to salute as well the encouragement of her friend, the Vicar Rawnsley, without whom the world of make-believe might never have heard of Peter Rabbit. Now that you know the rest of the story.